Be sure to follow Off the Cuff on all social media platforms, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. And on today's episode of Off the Cuff, the boys and I will play Fact or Cap, and we will have quite a bit of options and questions in that realm. And then we will end it with Answers Without a Question, in which at the very end we get into a very contentious argument over a certain coach in a certain division up north. So be sure to tune in for the entire episode. As always, let's get rolling.
Factor cap is easy to catch on to, man.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what do you mean? He doesn't know about factor cap. Like,
well, yeah, I know. I'm being a bitch.
If it's a cap, you'll jump out of your chair before you have a chance to say anything else.
Without a doubt. All right. Well, let's start out with this factor cap. First one right out of the gate. The words of GOAT and Mahomes together can finally be put to bed.
Cap. I mean, everyone should say cap. He's 28 years old.
Yeah, there's too much time left on the table. Do I think his stock is down? Absolutely, but it's not. I mean, five Super Bowls the past 6 years, whatever the stat is.
Yeah, he's played seven seasons as a starter. He's got five Super Bowl appearances. Of course, he's got a lot of work to do, but and he's got to have a whole different mental state to go into the age that Brady did. And if he wants to compete with less seasons versus what Brady did, you know, to like stack up. But I don't think Mahomes is worried about being the GOAT. I think he's just worried about playing ball.
Well, I think he's more of an uphill battle now, though. Like, that's why I say his stock's down. I think it's going to be harder for him going forward to be in the GOAT conversation, you know, at the end of his career. Do I think he's out of it now? No. But
the hardest thing of the whole conversation is going to be the start of his career, losing to Tom twice in the playoffs.
Really what I'm trying to say to this is, as of this very day, we shouldn't even be having the discussion anymore. Like, it can happen in a couple more years, sure, without a doubt. Yeah. But I'm saying, as of today, we shouldn't even be debating on, is he even considered to be a GOAT right now? Completely dead.
Yeah. No, that's fine for now. Yeah.
From my end, I'm really sick of the GOAT word getting thrown around left and right. You got GOAT fuel. Everybody's a GOAT. GOAT this, GOAT that. I don't really like GOATs like that. I think we should look at this in a lens of tiers. Mahomes is already a top tier quarterback in the history books as well. Let's give Mahomes the chance to build his resume, and let's enjoy the ride. Calling him the GOAT, talking about GOAT this. I'm done with that. I'm with you, Grant. I'm done with that for a while. Like, let's let him get towards the twilight of his career, and then let's start revisiting these topics. There's no need for this to be Max Kellerman's special right now. He's only, what, 28, 29?
You've matured, Chuck. That's a great way to look at it. That was spot on. I think we got ahead of ourselves. There's no doubt about it. But to be fair, nobody has ever really done what he's done until this point. So I think it was okay to start mentioning it, but it's not okay to be probably calling him that, you know, at that moment. Even if he had won the Super Bowl, we can maybe talk about it. But there's still a lot of work to be done.
All right, yeah, well, I'm glad I gave you guys a nice, easy tee-up ball for you guys. But let's move on to the next one, because that one was pretty clear for you, it seemed like. The next one, and I've been thinking about this one over the past really couple months, ever since I, in my opinion, thought they started to turn it around. The Carolina Panthers next year are a threat to win the NFC South.
In fact,
And let me give you just a quick little tad bit of info here. How many touchdowns as a team last year do you think the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Rams all had in total? If you had to make a guess.
I
don't
13.
know. Wait, 13
Total
total year?
touchdowns through the whole
Oh
year.
no, total
Yeah,
touches the
that's.
whole year. I would say
I'm.
they're probably at, I don't know, maybe 52, 53.
What
Yeah, I
kind
was
of
thinking
question? What kind
mid-50s.
of question is that? How am I supposed to know how many touchdowns they've had?
Here's what I'm gonna say. Okay, so last year, the Chiefs had 42 total touchdowns in the season. The Chargers and the Rams had 41, and the Panthers had 40. So I go
I'm
back
not
to that
following that
question.
stat.
That's how it's okay.
I'm curious whether you're framing this. Are they a threat? I think, of course. I think the playing field is wide open, especially when maybe 9-10 wins you that division. Are the Panthers one of the favorites? I think I'm calling cap on that still. Are they a threat to come out of nowhere? We'll see what Bryce is cooking with.
I'm gonna say cap personally. I really wanted to say fact, but I still think they have holes everywhere. Even with them putting up points, like you're saying, and Derrick Brown coming off an injury next year and actually helping that defense versus last year, they're not in some space where they're salary cap friendly, right? They've got 20 million, which for a team as bad as they are, as a whole group, you would expect them to pull in a couple names to help them push that along. I know that the NFC South isn't a big contender for like a Super Bowl team usually, but I don't see them just taking over the division and getting 10 wins on any year. That's the only issue
Even
I have.
if every single one of their starters is still on contract and will be returning next year on offense.
I don't yeah I don't really doesn't really do anything for me. I
Yeah.
mean, I like Bryce Young. I don't know. They're just a very underperforming team in general. Like defensively, the organization is going to get in the way somehow. We'll see.
I personally say cap. They're young. I'll give them that. Like they do have weapons. Jalen Coker, Bryce Young, Chuba. I think they got Jatavion Sanders in the draft as
XL.
well.
Yeah, they do.
But I think they're the last option in the NFC South, personally. I again think the Falcons 2-0 against
You
them.
don't think they can beat the Saints? You don't think they'll be better than the
Yeah,
Saints
but
last year? I think the Saints are going to be better than most people think. I think Kellen Moore is a great coach. I actually wanted him in Jacksonville, to be
what was
honest with
that
you, for a
chart?
second.
What was that chart you sent today, Fogle, of percentage of first and second round picks that are starting on teams? The Saints
Yeah.
are up there with the
The
Eagles.
Saints were the number one team, actually. So they had 90, I think it was 91% or something like that of first
And
and
the
second
Saints
round
are always
picks that are
talked about a
starters.
team that are in, they're always referred cap hell, things like that are always thrown around when you hear about the Saints.
Well, they paid off that credit card debt from the really
You
the
still
Jets
hear
were
it
using
talked
in that
about,
era.
though,
So,
if I'm not mistaken.
yeah, but what even is the salary cap, bro? I mean, look
I think
at
Derek Carr gets too much hate. I think Derek Carr is an easy bridge quarterback where if the Saints have a scrappy defense, top 10 defense, they can win that division
I
with
just
Derek
think
Carr.
that the Panthers, they're an up-and-coming team. I do think Bryce Young is actually going to progress pretty good with Dave Canales again. Xavier Leggett's going to continue to come along. They've got Chuba Hubbard re-signed. They still have Miles Sanders. Adam Thielen's still there. They've got a
Jonathan
decent run
Brooks.
game. They've got some players that they're gonna make some noise in that NFC South. I genuinely think that for next year. But that's my opinion. I guess you guys don't necessarily feel that way, which is why it's factored
I
in.
think
If
they're a threat. I think they're a threat. I don't think they're a favorite.
I mean, David, if David Tepper's in the way, that would be a big problem. I mean, if they go 7-9, and then the following year we have this conversation, like that coach might be gone because of how he acts, and that's an issue for an organization. So,
I think that's all fair. I think that's all fair. All right, let's move to the next one here. The Green Bay Packers are a number one wide receiver away from making the Super Bowl.
Wow.
That's cap. That's not what they need. They are a piece away. A number one wide receiver is not it.
Who
You
you guys
asking
are
what they
getting?
do need? You asking
Oh.
what they do need? Probably just a couple more guys. You know, and you
Yeah,
know what
that's
I'm
everybody in
talking
the league,
about.
Chuck. That's
And you know
everybody in
what
the
I'm,
league, Chuck.
yeah, I know, but you know what I'm talking about when I say that. You know, that's if the Packers have a great draft this year. You know, last year Jair was hurt. I think Romeo was banged up. I know Watson was in the blue tent again. You know, Josh Jacobs was just the workhorse, was pretty much scoring every touchdown, it felt like, for a while there. They're close though. I really like what the Packers have. I love what they got, but maybe if they add a couple guys somehow.
Well, so
I'm
are
gonna
they a
say
number one receiver
fact.
boy?
Number one wide receiver, that's it's thrown around. That's not what they
No,
need.
I'm gonna say fact. I'm gonna say fact. I think they had a bad end to the year, and I think a lot of people are remembering that. This is a good team. It's a very good team. The team that let me read off some names. They have Rashawn Gary, Jaire Alexander, Kenny Clark, Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs. These are all big name players. You drop Justin Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb, like the elite of the elite wide receiver, and they're dangerous everywhere. It's going to be an issue. So, yeah, I think if you gave them a real number one, I'm not saying like T. Higgins, you know, where he's like could be one. I'm saying is if you gave him a substantial one, like an A.J. Brown, I'm not obviously that would never happen, but I think that, yeah, that's really like the big piece. I think that's the most glaring hole on the team is that they have young 23 to 25 year old receivers that nobody can either stay healthy or play as that real number one.
I think this is unbelievably cap, personally. We got to stop making excuses for these quarterbacks, man. They just paid Jay Love however much money. He's got Jaden Reed to work with, who easily can be a number one wide receiver. I don't think they need another guy to get where they want to go. The defense is elite. Josh Jacobs is elite. Jordan Love balls out. I think they need to focus on winning the division first before they focus on winning a Super Bowl. I think they build off the young guys and go from there. I don't see them needing a number one wide receiver to be able to make it to that point or even win their division. You pay Jordan Love this money, you know, you got to work with it.
I'm all on board with that. I'm with you.
Jordan Love with a stud receiver. If he had, I agree, Connor, not necessarily T. Higgins, although T. Higgins would be a really good signing for him. But if they had a Jamar type, if they had an A.J. Brown type, if they had
I
a
don't
Jettis type,
know, man.
they would easily be at that level. That's like the one, I'm with you, Connor. That's the glaring hole of the
Not
Packers right
every
now.
team
Their
gets to
defense is
have
solid.
one of the best receivers in the league. You know
Well,
what
I
I
get
mean?
that,
There's
but
only
that's
get
the
that, but
question.
that's
That's the question.
like
Is if you drop one of them in
the
there.
guys that you just listed off, there's only a handful of guys moving like that.
I think T.
Deadass.
Higgins alone could make them a Super Bowl threat. A
Well,
healthy T. Higgins.
weren't they just
Sometimes
in the
with
NFC
players like that,
Championship though?
Grant, I'm sure
Two
you, I
years,
think
yeah,
you'll
they
agree
were
with
2 years
this,
ago.
Grant. I think you'll agree with this. Sometimes getting a guy like that on your team is about timing as well. Like, you can't just go and pick one up. That's the issue with them. Because there's only a handful of them, you have to get them on the low. You have to time it up right. It's why people in Jacksonville are going to be all up losing their minds all summer about Brian Thomas highlights, because you have to kind of fall into getting some of these players for the low, like Cincinnati had with Jamar, like Minnesota had with Jetta. And even then, you get to get them under contract. You have the ability to work the cap long term with them. For the Packers to go and pick up T. Higgins off, I feel like that's when it's hard for me to see it working out. I'm with Corey. I'd rather see them develop that young crop of talent, add a few guys through this offseason process, and run this back, because they're a good football team.
No, they've got
But number one
42
wide
million.
receiver shopping,
They've
I don't
got
think
42
number one
million to
wide
work
receiver
with.
shopping, I'm not a that's not going to get you
I mean,
very
there's really none
far.
available, but even if we're in the hypothetical scenario that you dropped one of those players on that team right now, That's the scenario. Not go shop for one. Not, you know, I'm just saying is if
Well,
they had that
you
one
just paid
piece.
Jordan Love. I could be sold on the idea of maybe going and getting a T. Higgins for like a Drake May or a Jaden Daniels, and you know, instead of putting the money to quarterback, you put it in that receiver room. You know, you allocate the money in the passing game a little differently, maybe, and develop your young quarterback with a star receiver that way. I mean, you gave Jay Love all this money. I don't think a number one wide receiver purchase is even on the table.
Kojo, any closing thoughts on that?
Not really. I don't think they need it. I don't think they have to have that wide receiver one to make it to the Super Bowl. I genuinely think they could do it now.
Fair enough.
Yeah, well,
Fair enough.
They had the fifth best defense in the league.
Yeah, that's going to help
stats,
them a lot.
You
that's
know?
Going to help
yeah,
them
the
a
Packers
lot.
Are good.
So if we talk about where are they lacking, you know, it's probably not the defensive side of the ball.
Yep.
Well, I see where Josh Jacobs is coming with that, because the run game was there. The O-line is solid. If the passing game was there, the offense could be unlocked. But you got to do it with Tucker Kraft, Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs. Maybe if you really are that, you know, if the passing game is that much of a dire need, maybe you address it, you know, another way. But I don't think you can – I don't think it's on the table to get a big number one guy.
Probably so, but I think for the sake of the argument, I think it's it could really make them into that Super Bowl contending team.
Yeah, for the
my
sake,
opinion,
it'd
but
be sick.
Yep. Chuck, I don't know what you're going to say to this one, because you have favoritisms toward this guy and this team a little bit, but Mike Vrabel will have the Patriots back in the playoffs in year one with Drake May and Josh McDaniels working together.
Cap.
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
It's going to take some time. It's not going to be right away. I think Mike Vrabel will get them right. I with the division they're in, with the Bills being in the head of the pack, that means you're pretty much granting that they're going to be a wild card team if they make it. There's only three wild card spots. I'm probably not giving one to them. I see them doing better. I see them absolutely being a 500 team right around that mark. But to tell me they're going to go 10-7, that's a tough sell.
I'm going to say fact just for like the record, but I will say, I mean, I don't have a fact or cap real answer with this. I think it's going to really depend on what division the AFC East gets matched up with. We know the Bills are probably going to win that division, but are the Patriots going to have an easy road to 9-8? I think they're going to be.
Do you
be
think
a
the
good,
Dolphins or the Jets are going to be a threat?
I'm not concerned about them if I'm the Patriots. I think the Patriots are a hard-nosed football team, offensive and defensive line-wise. I trust what they got cooking up in New England. They got the quarterback. I think they got the coach. I think they're going to try to bring this Patriot way back. I don't think they're going to fall on their face. I think that the Patriot way renaissance, I think that's going to get them to 9-8. I don't know if it's going to be this year. They might just be fighting for 7-9. But I believe Drake May is going to be the reason that this faux pas Patriot way renaissance doesn't fall flat on its face, because I really think he's I'd rather have him than Jaden Daniels. But that's for another time.
Let's hear it, Kojo.
Cap, I'm looking at their schedule right now. Cooked. I see bare minimum
really?
10 losses. That is what I'm seeing.
What divisions are they matched up with?
So I'll read off their schedule just to give you guys some sort of idea. Falcons, Bills, Panthers, Browns, Dolphins, Giants, Jets, Raiders, Steelers, Ravens, Bills, Bengals, Dolphins, Saints, Jets, Bucks, Titans. So,
yeah, I think the Patriots can make the playoffs.
I just don't see it happening.
It wasn't all that
bad. They're going to be an awesome team, though. I do like that they're bringing back their, I guess you call it the Patriot way. I'm actually, with Chuck, I'm rooting for Drake May. Kayshawn Booty, he's on my fantasy team. I'm going to be rooting for him. But I just don't see it happening, so I'm going to say cap.
Let me ask you guys this, then. What is – and Grant – actually – Grant, finish yours first, and I have a question to ask all.
No, go ahead.
What is a successful first year for Vrabel?
Playoffs.
See, so it's playoffs or bust for Vrabel in his first year. I'm not
Oh,
saying
yeah.
he'll get fired, obviously, but
I
the
genuinely think that.
expectation.
I genuinely think that, yeah.
What about the public expectation? Maybe not the Patriots expectation. Like, what will get the public off not heated? You know, the Patriots fans not heated, you know,
I
because
don't
they
think
were
it's
pretty, they're the third
necessarily.
pick.
I don't think it's going to be anything about a record for them. I think what is going to make the Patriot fans happy about the year is the way they play. They probably aren't going to expect to win many games, to be quite frank. But it's how do they play? Do they play with that Patriot way toughness that Belichick, brought to that franchise? And do they play hard-nosed football? Do they play aggressive? Do they not quit? Do they not lose by, big time points in games? I think that's really going to be what is a successful season or not, and are they building that culture to what it will be, which is championship level again?
Love that.
That's a good answer. I do think they're liable to beating any random good team on any given day.
I think their success, I think if I had to put a number on it, 7-10. 7-10, probably the where if I'm a Patriots fan, I'm like, all right, you know, we had a few more wins than the previous year. But I personally didn't see really the Patriots, at least Drake May, you know, quitting too much, even when they
Yeah, I
were
didn't
down.
either.
So like I'm really excited to see them Vrabel coming together. I think Grant hit the hammer on the nail. It's like how the way they're playing. You know, are they running the ball? You know, are we moving the sticks? So I think it's the best way you can put it.
Yep. Well,
Right.
I think they're going to be an exciting team without question.
Yeah, for
Like, I'll
sure.
be excited to watch Patriot games again. Like, oh, this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. Let's move on to the next one. This might be contentious for a lot, but if you really think about it, there's some validity to this. The Detroit Lions will miss the playoffs next year.
That's so cap. That's so cap. That's
Oh
so cap.
man, I'm gonna say
Fact.
cap. I'm gonna say cap as well. But I don't want to say cap, but I'm going to.
Too many weapons. There's too many weapons there in Detroit. Aiden Hutchinson's coming back, first of all. That's one big comeback. I can see where you would say, you know, fact, just because Ben J's gone.
And Aaron Glenn.
And Aaron Glenn, I think any coordinator is going to be successful with those players on that field, and Dan Campbell as their head coach. Absolutely cap, in my opinion.
I don't think they win the division. I'll start there. I think.
I just think this is one of those where I'm going to be able to get away with a free take here. I'm just going to say fact and hope I'm right. I have no basis of saying why they won't make the playoffs. I'm just going to hope this one sticks.
No, here's the thing is I can 100% see it happening, Grant, because that is an interesting take. I can see it happening. I can see why you think that because I'm not going to sit here and pretend that Jared Goff's a superstar, even though that a lot of people do love him. I think he could be at any point liable to having a very bad season. But they have weapons everywhere at the end of the day. The coach has not changed, number one. The OC and DC have, and that's a big deal. But the coach hasn't changed. They expect to win every game they play. They've already done a lot in the last few years in terms of winning. So because of that, I think that type of football and the actual culture they've built there will carry them into the playoffs, even if the OC and DC are average.
Here's my
My
reasoning
thing.
for behind all of this is, and it does
Okay.
fall
Okay.
completely with the coordinators. Completely with the coordinators. We saw exactly what happens when you lose both of your coordinators and you end up not getting the right coordinators the next year with the Philadelphia Eagles. Not this past season, but the year before it.
Yep.
The Eagles were easily the most stacked team when they lost the Super Bowl. They go into next year with basically the same exact team. But what happens? They lose two key roles in that entire team, their coordinators. People don't realize, like Dan Campbell, he is a hard nose. I love Dan Campbell. But if you get those coordinators wrong, the whole ship is sinking. It doesn't matter how good of a head coach you are. You have to have key role players and coaches in those positions to guide that team and guide that side of the ball to success. And yes, they're stacked, but there's a good chance that they do not click with whoever their new coaches are. there's a very high possibility of that. Plus, they are in a stacked division, and I do think the Packers will be strong. I do think that the Bears will be better, and we can't forget about the Vikings. Three of those teams made the playoffs this year.
You know, we don't know how those coordinators are going to go, and we just talked about that Packers team. You know, I picked the Packers over the Lions this year blindly again. I think I'm going to do the same next year, and if I got the Packers winning the division, we said the same thing about the Patriots. It's tough to get one of those wild card spots.
This is crazy to me.
I will say, if we catch Vegas slipping on a 12.5 line, I will be looking for it.
This is 12 and crazy a half. To me.
The total season total. Chuck.
That's high.
I'm just saying, they're coming
up under that.
Well, yeah, my point is you don't know. You know, there's a lot.
I think
of
it should be 10.5.
Step in there, Kojo.
So we're forgetting. I don't like the Eagles comparison. Here's why. Eagles went to the Super Bowl. Lions lost their first playoff game. If I'm a Lions player, I'm pissed off right now. I'm grinding all offseason to get back to that point to be able to show myself once more. I don't care about the coordinators right now, to be honest with you. I'm just strictly, it's a player-run team, and a lot of these teams are in the NFL. These guys are going to ball out. I think it's going to be an absolute smoke show most of the games they play. We're going to Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff's absolutely probably the best serviceable quarterback in the NFL. Does his job. But we're talking about a healthy Lions team here as well. Sonic and Knuckles back 1-2 punch. Aiden Hutchinson, right? We got Amon-Ra, Laporta, who didn't really have a huge showing. So I think it's going to be extremely easy for the offensive coordinator to come in and get these weapons running. I think more of we're talking coordinators, the defensive coordinator is going to be the question. But I think this is unbelievably cap.
Clip it. We'll be back in 9 months to see.
100%.
We'll be back.
Exactly.
We'll be back.
I would love to see it.
Okay. Next fact or cap here. The only thing standing in the way of the Ravens winning the Super Bowl is John Harbaugh.
Cap. They just haven't put together that one run yet.
That's how
I think of them.
Is it because of their players, or is it because their coach isn't doing what he needs to? You can't say that Lamar isn't playing at an MVP level every year. They had Derrick Henry. They've got studs on defense. Like, where's the disconnect? Why can't they close it out?
I think it sucks that they had to go on the road to Buffalo in the snow. I think Baltimore was one of the top four best teams in the NFL.
Yeah, but that doesn't really matter because even if you don't go to Buffalo, you're going to Arrowhead.
Tournament style.
Either way, you're still going to one.
Got to get the one seed.
I mean, I'm going to say.
Which sucks they didn't win the year before. If you're the Ravens, that whole thing with the year before is still in your mind because it's tough to go on the road in the playoffs. If you're the Ravens, I don't think John Harbaugh is looking in the mirror thinking he did anything wrong. You know, if you're the Ravens, you know, could Lamar have played a ultra perfect game? Sure. But the Ravens just haven't put that one run together. Sometimes that's what it takes.
I'm going to say cap. It's not John Harbaugh. It's Lamar Jackson. And I'm going to tell you why. We give all this praise to Jalen Hurts because he wins games. How is he against top quarterbacks? He's 9-1. What has Lamar done in the playoffs? Just because you win MVP in the regular season, let's be totally honest. What does he do in the playoffs? It's not once, it's not twice, it's not three, it's not four. He's lost five times. He's lost to Josh. He's lost to Pat. He probably would have lost to Joe if Joe actually played that game. So my point is he needs to step up in the playoffs. It's not that he's playing bad. It's that he needs to learn how to close big time games in the playoffs because he hasn't done it since I've been watching.
I'm going to say cap as well. I don't think John Harbaugh is the problem at all. Be honest with you, the Ravens were a play away against the Bills, and they had three turnovers.
Your play away against the Chiefs.
So, I mean, if anything, it's the turnovers, it's mental errors. But I think Harbaugh is more than capable of taking those guys to the Super Bowl and even winning it. I actually wanted them to win the Super Bowl this year, and I bet on them, obviously lost. But I don't think it's Harbaugh. I think, Fogle, there is some truth to that. I hate to admit it. There's definitely some truth. You're the guy. You're the MVP of the league two times, back to back.
Where are you? You know what I mean? If you're the MVP, where are you?
Show me the MVP. It's a tough truth, and there's definitely some truth to it.
He's playing well in these playoff games.
It's not about playing well, though. It's not about playing well. It's about playing to win, and we just haven't. He's never won in that postseason. He just hasn't. He lost to Philip Rivers in a postseason game.
I stand by Lamar's going to get one.
No, I think he will too. But at the very moment right now, it's not John Harbaugh's fault. You know, the team's stacked.
I mean,
Lamar's been an MVP. Maybe there's some truth to Harbaugh being the problem. I don't know. But you can't ask for much more.
You talked about the Packers needing a wide receiver one. Lamar went into Buffalo in the snow without his wide receiver one.
He did it in the year before, though, and lost. And he lost at home.
Yeah, right. But that's my point. All it takes is that one run. Like, it's always something. You know, Zay Flowers punched out the goal line the year before.
Yeah, but we can make excuses.
Zay Flowers out this year.
We can't just make excuses every year.
It's not excuses.
I mean, it's just, though, because if he's winning MVPs, but then we're going to make the excuse on why he loses every big game in the postseason, what are we doing?
You know what I mean? You could say that about Josh Allen. You could say that about Joe Burrow.
I am going to say that about Josh Allen, too. I will say that. I won't say it about Joe.
You know, right now, the only guy you can't say that about is Jalen Hurts. So I've got Jalen Hurts 1. I've got Mahomes 2. I've got Lamar 3. I've got
Grant, let me
hear Allen 4, and then we'll save my number 5 spot for later. But
I don't think it's John Harbaugh's fault. I think he has a piece to it, but it falls on Lamar every time. Like, there's a reason that they aren't winning these games, because he's not performing when he needs to perform. You can't fumble the ball at the 50-yard line in a big time game like that. Like, it just can't happen. Like, there's no excuse for it. So I don't think it's John Harbaugh, but he could maybe have a little impact, but I would give this a cap personally. But
I mean, it's crazy when you think about it. Why
it ain't Harbaugh? And I agree that Lamar turned the ball over is egregious. We saw Allen do the same shit in Arrowhead, and yeah, they can make up for it with good play throughout the rest of the game, but you can't have those mistakes.
Chuck, what if I told you, as the one seed? Remember, they lost to the Titans, and as the one seed, they lost to the Chiefs. What else do you really need, man? You've had your opportunities. You've had the team. You've had a 2,000-yard rusher behind you. At some point, you got to win.
It's just like it's hard to win the Super Bowl. Like,
it's not about winning the Super Bowl. It's about beating the quarterback. I'm just asking them to beat the quarterbacks in the AFC. I'm not even asking them to win the Super Bowl. I'm just asking him to at least go on the run, because he's never beat a big quarterback in the AFC. In the postseason. He has 0 wins against them.
I'm sure that's a lie somewhere, maybe. I don't know.
He's got 3 playoff wins, and one of them was against Pittsburgh this year.
It's a good discussion. Yeah. I think the Ravens fans will give us their intake or input on that. And, you know, I think they're probably 50-50 on it. I think they all love Lamar, but they're also probably like, nope, I don't think John Harbaugh's the guy, or I don't think Lamar's the guy. You know, it could be whatever, but who knows? Who knows? Let's move on to the next one here. There was a player last year who very much underperformed and now is requesting a trade. Trading for Deebo Samuel will only hurt your team, not help it.
Fact. I'm seeing reports that he's diving too much into the Cheetos. I'm hearing reports that he's 20 pounds overweight. I'm saying facts. Age, injuries. Honestly, he looked like he was moving slow this year. I'm absolutely going to say fact. I love Deebo Samuel. I want to make sure I put that out there. He's unreal when he gets on the outside. But I think you're hurting yourself, and you're probably going to pay too much money to get him.
Chuck?
I hate saying that you're hurting your team for sure by getting Debo. I don't know that I would be pursuing him. I don't know what – you have to go all in. You have to go all in to, you know, apply using him. You know what I mean? I don't think you can just plug and play him on the outside in any system. So, therefore, it's going to be a tough buy.
Could you say that he's kind of a Shanahan merchant? Like, he only does well because he is in the perfect opportunities that Shanahan puts him in because he utilizes him correctly?
I don't know about that. I have trouble envisioning a team like, oh, we need Debo this year.
Well, he's not going to get much. Let's put it that way. They're not going to get much. The 49ers are not going to get much for Debo. I'm going to say cap because I think any team in the NFL would rather have them than not have him. But it's going to come dependent on how much he costs to have. I don't think his plays is that much of an issue. I don't think he's a one by any means, but he's going to help your team move the sticks. I don't think Shanahan was the reason why he's a good player. I think it's a good portion of it, but he'll help your team move the sticks on any offense because that's just the type of player he is, and he's a hard-nosed player. Shoot, they had him playing running back at points. Like, he's a do-it-all player. A lot of teams could use that. However, for $23 million a year, which is what his contract is,
I think there's a part of it that you have to think about, too, is not necessarily a skill, but how is he going to be in the locker room? I mean, he apparently was somewhat of a locker room nuisance at some points.
That's what we hear.
Correct.
If it's an AJ Brown situation, you know, I mean, we said he would be negative in the locker room, and he just won the Super Bowl and scored a touchdown, you know? So, like, he was even being a prima donna on the field. So, I definitely think that if Debo goes to new team, I don't think he's going to be some drama person that he walks in the room and wants everything day one. I think he will commit and help a team. That'll be useful. It's just going to be a team that has a high salary cap that the money allocated to wide receivers, probably because they have quarterbacks that are not on big time contracts. If you brought him to New England, if you brought him to Washington, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Let your quarterback develop, bring Debo in, who's a vet and can help your locker room from a receiver standpoint. And it's no skin off your back. He's not going to cost more than probably a third round pick in a trade at best. He's barely on contract for one more year, and you got to pay him. So you're going to bring in a vet. Everyone needs a vet.
My thing is, though, it's like it's a massive risk. It's a massive risk. Every year he's in the NFL, I feel like his hamstring's pulled, to be honest with you. Every year, it really just feels like he's on the sidelines multiple games. If I'm a GM, I get the locker room aspect of, hey, you have got a guy who's been there, done that. Played in a couple Super Bowls. I get that. That aspect, I could see it being a help, but actually on the field, I'd be more worried about him being out of the season than him actually producing the numbers that we may think, to be honest with you.
Unfortunately.
If Debo ever sees us, let him know I got your back, brother. I want you.
Injuries are a statistic.
And Debo, you're more than welcome to join the pod.
Please join the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, we love Debo.
We'll have a guest, yeah.
Off the podcast, Southern loves Debo Samuel.
We love South Carolina. Go Cox, right? Right, Kojo?
Go Cox.
All right, next one. Another guy that's in trade rumors talks. The New York Giants are a playoff team with Matthew Stafford at quarterback.
Wow.
And maybe even he brings Cooper Kupp with him.
Wow.
Cap. I just don't think the Giants are making the playoffs next
year. You're just on Jameis still. That's it.
Yeah, if Jameis pulls up, I still don't think they're making the playoffs. But I think it's going to be close. I think the Giants, no matter how you slice it, are going 7-10 next year.
Cap, Cap all day long. And I love Matthew Stafford, but
he said all day long.
I'm sorry, guys, but 11 wins makes the NFC playoffs this year. 10 wins don't even get you there. The Giants are I mean,
Walker,
at, 11 wins was the seventh seed.
I think it's cap as well, but I do think it's a compelling question, to be defense honest with you. Defense is not bad. Tyrone Tracy, Neighbors, there's young guys there. I mean, like, I'm only going to say cap just because Fogle and Chuck said cap. Part of me is saying, hey, Matthew Stafford's a Georgia Bulldog. He can do it. But he's also approaching the end of his career, but in reality. So I'm going to lean towards cap here.
Stafford is one of those types of quarterbacks that just elevates your team the second that he walks in that locker room. Guys want to, I mean, we just saw it on that podcast, Chuck, that you sent it to us. Like, Neighbors already said, like, we would love a veteran presence. Like, that would just elevate us to another level. Like, Neighbors would 100% be the kind of receiver that we expect to be. And Stafford's, he's got another at least a year or two of really good football left in him, if mm-hmm. he stays healthy, of course.
Right.
And we don't know. We don't know what that division really is going to look at. Yeah, the Eagles will be great, but Commanders, okay, we'll see if they can repeat it. The Cowboys, we never know what the hell's going on with them. Stafford could be that missing piece that really kind of helps them get to a higher level than they wanted to. And they still got, you know, Dexter Lawrence on that defensive line, who's one of the best at his position. Who knows? Who knows?
I'm gonna have to end this argument right now. Let me read you the home schedule.
Go ahead.
Dallas, Philly, Washington, Green Bay, Kansas City, Chargers, Minnesota, San Francisco. See ya.
Those are all else.
I didn't name a single win, did I?
They could get 9 wins on the road.
yeah, on the road. You ready? Philly, Washington, Chicago, Denver, Detroit, Vegas, New England, New Orleans. I counted maybe wins. Four. I counted. nine wins if you're a Giants fan that forgets that other teams exist.
Let's find out who they got slinging the rock before we start projecting wins.
They can have anybody.
You say, with right. Matt Stafford, are they winning any? Are they winning it? How many more games is Matt Stafford worth to the Giants?
I mean, are they beating any of that right now at home on any of those teams? They're no less than 5.5 point favorites, maybe at home 4 point favorite or 4 point underdogs. I'm sorry, at best at every home game.
Yeah, all they'll right. go seven. They'll go 7-10 somehow. We all know it.
Well, hey, Stafford, go prove the pod wrong. Go prove the pod wrong. Everybody would love it. Last year, would you agree or disagree that Sam Darnold was one of the best quarterbacks in the league? This is not the factor cap. I'm just asking you guys a question.
Fine, best quarterback.
Yeah,
because Jared Goff could be in that conversation, but I don't
necessarily. Okay, would you say he was he a top 10 quarterback last
think
year?
So. He's a top 10 quarterback, no doubt.
Yeah, like, come on. Like he,
no, that's
he
not
was,
even a question.
Yeah.
Like, it's more like, is he a top 7 quarterback?
Here's the
factor
cap.
Yeah, I think
cap.
I'd probably put him at like 8 or 9.
Do you trust? Here's the factor cap for you guys. Sam Darnold should trust his play from last year and take the biggest payday he can find rather than take a pay cut to stay with Vikings and Kevin O'Connell as a Vikings merchant.
Agree.
Get that bag.
You should take
boy.
The bag anyway, take the highest paid anyway.
What do you do with J.J. McCarthy?
Whoever is offering Sam Darnold the most money is where he's playing next year.
Would that be smart for him to do?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
You think he can be just as good with any other team?
No.
No.
But I think there's something to be said about generational money for your family. And
I guess I should
have
changed the factor cap. Sam Darnold will be just as good next year on a different team than the Vikings.
Cap.
That's the question at hand.
Yeah, cap.
Yeah, no, but that's cap. No, you didn't ask it the first time. The first time, is he an elite quarterback on the year? Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, so is Baker Mayfield this year. Baker threw 40 touchdowns. Yeah, I don't think I don't put them in a different conversation.
Baker played better Baker than over. Sam.
And I Baker played better. And Grant, you know better than anybody before the season, I said, watch out for the Vikings. I told you this. We were in the car outside of a cigar shop, and we both said, Sam Darnold is who you should be watching out for. You remember that? You
we were on them heavy. But what I'm saying is,
and I like Sam Darnold.
My take is the reason Sam Darnold was successful this year was because of Kevin O'Connell, not because of his skill. Like, he's a great quarterback. He's a good quarterback. But did he elevate to another level because of who he was on and who he was playing with? Without question. If he goes and takes a $45, $50 million deal with the Raiders, he's going to be the normal Sam Darnold again.
I don't think he's going to get that. That's the thing is, I think when you hit a flash in the pan like he did at that stage of his career where he didn't pan out at the beginning and now he has pan out, he gets a Baker Mayfield type deal.
Yeah.
And that to me is worth everything if I'm Sam Darnold, because number one, I get all that money, that guaranteed money. I don't have to worry about a thing for the rest of my life. Not that he does currently or whatever his financial situation is, but that should mean something, number one. And number two, there's no guarantee he's even the starter if things go south in Minnesota quickly. So if regardless if it goes south for him at Vegas or wherever other team, if it goes south for him from Minnesota, they just put big-time capital into a quarterback. They're looking for any reason not to start him.
Does he look at it and say, you know what, I have a real chance to have some true relevancy in the NFL if I just stay here on a $35 million deal? Or just say, screw it, if I have a bad year and I make $150 million and my career's over with, then I'm fine with that.
You know what I think?
Win-win situation.
I wonder if it comes down to this. I wonder if it comes to, is Sam Darnold an unrestricted free agent? Like, in here's yes. what I'm thinking. If Sam Darnold hits the market and there's an asking price, I think the question becomes, is Minnesota willing to pay the price? If Minnesota
is a free agent,
what I'm saying is, I don't know how all those do. You know, I know it can get complicated. If Minnesota's willing to pay Sam Darnold what he's worth in the market, then I think, of course, Sam stays in Minnesota for the reasons you're stating. But if Minnesota's not willing to pay him as much as someone else is, he's going to be gone in an instant.
But would you take $35 million 2-year deal from Minnesota versus a 4-year deal? Like, when I say 35, I mean 35 a year.
No, I'm taking the 4-year deal.
But $40 million at Vegas? Like,
yeah, I'm going to Vegas.
The thing is, I have a hard time believing any team is going to really pay him that much money, though. I think a lot of people
see that. I don't think there's a situation at all that he's entertaining staying with Minnesota for anything not for a substantially worse situation. Not at all.
Am I the only one that thinks he would be successful in Vegas?
I don't think he's going to be a bad quarterback anyway.
I mean, he's got Brock Bowers.
His confidence is way up. He's got Tom Brady, Pete Carroll, another USC guy. I really think he could find success in Vegas, to be quite honest with you. He's got the right people.
Did Fogelman, the matchmaker, just set that up?
Grant said it before us.
I think who has the most pressure on in this is the Vikings. To be honest with you, the Vikings, they're in a pickle. They say, on one hand, I've got Sam Darnold who just gave us this many wins, right? And then I've got J.J. McCarthy on the other. He's a rookie, hurt last year. Don't know really if he can play at an elite level or not. So which side do you take, right? If it's me, I'm taking Sam Darnold personally. I'm taking the proven success, but I think Sam Darnold would be a great spot in Vegas.
He's also got proven failure.
That's correct. No, absolutely. But so does Aaron Rodgers in that same organization, but we're not giving him the crap for it, right? So I think anybody in that Jets organization, first off, my guy Zach Wilson got screwed. You saw it with Aaron Rodgers. I don't think anybody can be successful there. So, you know, coming back, these guys sometimes take time to develop. I think he's reached his peak. Why sell him when he's at his peak? I get you may want to try a rookie out, but I say you keep him. but I think he can be successful. I think I do also think there's places he can't be successful in. You know, like Arizona would be one of those places for me where I'm like, I don't think he'd do too hot. But we'll see. I think the Vikings are in a pickle and they're in a tough spot. Take Sammy D.
I think you have the easy situation I think it is a pickle, but I have the easiest out situation for the Minnesota Vikings.
You have their out?
Yeah. It's called a franchise tag and move on. Get your franchise tag, keep him for a year. If he's willing to play for that year, great. If he's not and he tells you that, now you're in a real pickle. But you can't just get rid of a guy who got you to 14-3. Sorry.
Either way, the ball's in Minnesota's court, no matter how you slice it.
Yep.
I think he should just stay in Minnesota and just keep what he knows is working and call it a day. Last couple ones on the factor cap real quick, and then we can get into answers without questions if you guys are willing to. And then we'll wrap it up from there. But Marvin Harrison Jr. was easily the most disappointing rookie last year.
How much of that are we putting on Kyler?
It's a fact, disappointing-wise, but because he was the most hyped rookie, part of that goes 2-2, is that he was the most hyped rookie in the draft pretty much since Jamar from receiver and probably from any position group in a long time. He had a father who was in the Hall of Fame, right? Like, I mean, he was an Ohio State receiver, and we've seen these Ohio State receivers. Like, everything lined up to have a great, you know, top-of-the-line rookie year that we've seen. I don't think it necessarily falls on him, and I personally don't believe it's his fault. But in terms of you have to look at what's proof in the pudding, what's on paper, and what's on paper wasn't good. But at least to our current standards. If he had the season 5 years ago and we weren't so social media driven on what happened in Amon-Ra's back half and Jeddah's back half and Jamar's rookie year, we would have said, oh, yeah, he's fine. But now because of this hype and because of what Malik Nabers did and Brock Bowers did and BTJ did, all the eyes are like, oh, we're all over these guys now and we're going to forget about Marvin. He'll probably be back next year and have a good year.
I think it's cap, personally. I don't think there was anything disappointing about it. What is the stat that him and his dad had, like, almost identical stats their rookie year? I think there's more rookies that had more disappointing years this year than Marvin. Romo Odunze is one of those guys that comes to mind, personally. So I think it's absolutely cap. I still think Marvin Harrison's an elite wide receiver. He's a buy low guy. He's one of those guys you get in now because it's coming.
He was all right. I think Kyler and him were okay. We'll see what they do. We'll see what they do moving forward, I think. I think we saw some flashes, but nothing knocked anyone's socks off.
When you say most disappointing rookie, I was thinking because of the hype and Marvin, but then I start to think about how many more names come to mind. And I'm like, Jonathan Brooks was so hyped. Jalen Polk.
He wasn't. No, I mean, they weren't.
The top. I mean, they're still top tier picks.
No, they weren't.
I mean, a first rounder's a top tier
pick. I bet most people don't even know who those two dudes are.
There's a reason for that.
Exactly. They weren't hyped. Everyone knows who Marvin Harrison Jr. is.
According to you, Connor, you thought Caleb Williams was easily the most disappointing rookie.
Now that I'm thinking about it more, he probably, I mean, maybe not.
I think Marvin was more disappointing than Caleb.
Oh, no, I definitely don't think that.
I thought Caleb, well, from where I was going into the season, I thought Caleb impressed me and Marvin disappointed me.
No, I think Marvin was probably still, the fourth best rookie receiver on the year?
So the difference between these two is Marvin fourth? Came off a crazy, crazy last 2 years in college. Caleb won the Heisman. Next year, he really wasn't that big of a difference maker for USC Trojans. So, Marvin Harrison's hype, I think, was a lot higher coming into the draft than Caleb's was. So we're putting Marvin as the on this pedestal where like he's a what he was drafted number four, number five, something like that.
And you could five. I think bro, he's the at best the fifth best rookie wide receiver.
Name the other four.
Got Brian, Malik, Ladd, and that's after it. The Super Bowl, Xavier Worthy.
No. Let's be completely honest. We know that he wasn't.
After the Super Bowl, Xavier Worthy.
All right. So it was BTJ,
Malik
Ladd, and Xavier Worthy.
If that's the case, well, then I can still count the same amount of guys that Caleb was worse than at quarterback.
I think Caleb is – so you got Jaden, Bo Nix, Drake May. Are you going Penix or Caleb?
I don't. Either way, here's my point.
We're talking about Penix.
We're not. Don't even worry about that.
Talking about Michael Penix right now.
Yeah, I thought he looked good. Look, bro.
Caleb.
What
Caleb,
are we talking about?
Caleb won the Heisman.
He played like two games.
Caleb won the Heisman, and he was the first overall pick. There was a lot of hype behind him. There's more hype around Marvin, but if we're honest, the Bears are missing one big time piece. And they got that big time piece, which was supposed to be Caleb. It was pretty disappointing.
All right, let's move on to the last factor cap before we get into answers without a question. Last one, we're going to go down to South Beach for this one. The Miami Dolphins don't have a toughness problem. They have a Tua problem.
Cap, I think Tua is the only reason they're relevant. I think Tua is actually a dang good quarterback, and Tua's better than a lot of quarterbacks. I don't know if it's Mike McDaniel, if it's a toughness problem.
Toughness starts with your head coach.
Right.
Like, you can't look across that timeline like, oh, yeah, this guy's a tough guy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if that's it. I don't know if it's a McDaniel to the toughness thing. Maybe it is. I don't know. But I don't think it's Tua.
I'm going to say Cap as well. I think I'm right there with Chuck. You know, Mike McDaniels comes off as this cool, chill guy, right? You know, I'm in Miami, warm weather, got the beach here. But I don't like the way he coaches. I get how you could like it. You know, it's laid back. You know, these guys are grown men. They're doing their jobs. But we got to light a fire under their asses every once in a while. Stop hitting your freaking jewel on the sideline, brother, and let's get these guys fired up. I think Tua is the last problem here, personally. But, you know, you have too many – you have Tyreek Hill getting arrested on a sidewalk before a game. Distraction. Mike McDaniel hitting his vape. Distraction. Mike McDaniel acting like nothing's wrong as we go to these pressers. I mean, have some sort of fire in you. Get these guys going.
It's Cap all day. Tua's not the problem, brother. He's the solution. Mike McDaniel is the problem. This team needs a rebranding. That's the bottom line and the honest truth. When Tua has not played, they have been pathetic. Tua's the only reason they were even relevant at any point. They have been an awful team for years, years and years and years. They were relevant for a small stint because guess who was balling? Tua.
I think y'all actually sold me and put me over the fence because I was a little on the fence. I'd love to see what Tua could do. Let Tyreek get out of here. They've got Jalen Waddle out there running, speeding around out there. I think their offensive line has some guys on it. I'd love to just see a new face leading the Miami Dolphins. And it's not anti-Mike McDaniel. He seems like a cool, chill guy, but that might be the issue. I think you want to be a little scared of your guy.
Let me bring this picture into the realm, though. For me, when your quarterback has to walk essentially on eggshells every single snap, because if he takes another bad hit, then he's done. That's a big problem for your team. I mean, you're really getting Tua playing at probably 80% of his true potential and capabilities because he can only sit there in the pocket and throw it. He can't run out there anymore because if he gets a bad hit, he's done. You can't win with a quarterback who has to protect himself every single snap. You need to have a quarterback that will be able to put a little bit of his body on the line occasionally. Like, you just can't win that way with a quarterback who can't give his all to it.
I agree that that's a problem for an elite team. I disagree with you, though, completely on the fact that you can't win without it. I can name 10 quarterbacks that are not mobile right now that don't do anything good.
I don't know that it's mobile. I see what he's saying. Like, Tua, you could argue that you're worried he has that second, you know, he's got a second guess because of the injury concern. But I don't think that he plays with a second. You know, I don't think he plays that way.
He's gotten injured basically every year. Like, you can't go into the year knowing that there's a chance that we're going to lose our quarterback halfway through the season and only play with him for 9 games.
I personally don't think it's on his mind at all. I mean, what was the play this year? He literally put his body on the line to get a first down. Unfortunately, had another moment. But I don't think it's on his mind. I think it's more on our mind as fans saying, hey, like, get off the field. I think Tua just wants to go out there and ball, to be honest with you. I get, you know, that thought process. I also heard that he did jiu-jitsu before this season. I don't think that worked that well, to be honest with you, just based off what we saw. I think he needs to go practice with the Marlins there and do a little base running drills and sliding.
Hey, let me read you something real quick. Without Tua, Mike McDaniels is 1-5 with 16 points per game. With Tua, 20-13, 26 points per game.
They Very were obvious. Potentially going to make the playoffs this year without Tua the entire year.
They were never making the playoffs this year.
And Tua was part of the reason they were even in that conversation. The games he played, he won.
They were in that little box on the far right.
The reason they were in that box is because it's the reason they're in that box is because what Tua did when he was on the field. That's the only reason they were even in the hunt. And the AFC had a lot of teams in the hunt for a while.
He was out at the Jets. Week two, he got injured.
He came back
in Buffalo at home.
He came back and won games.
Week like 14. 15.
I think Tua gets thrown in the same argument as Trevor Lawrence just because he's not exciting. No one wants to think, oh, Tua's so good. And then you got the concussion thing that gets thrown around. Tua's carrying the Dolphins right now.
You said, Grant, Tua played almost the vast majority of the season this year, even though we want to pretend like he was hurt. I'll count how many get what his record was.
Felt like he was hurt.
He lost 5 games. He won 6 games. He went 6-5. He played 11 of the games. The reason they were even in the hunt is because his name's on that board. How many wins did the Dolphins end up with? 7.
Was it 9? Oh.
Cook.
No, they had 8 wins, to be fair. So they won 2 games without 2 on the year. The only reason they're in that chart, which the Jags were even in at like 2-6 at one point or something. Don't put too much credit in all that. They're still probably 3 games back.
Fair enough. Well, that was a good factor cap, boys. That's all I got for you on that end. Let's move into the last thing of the night. Let's do answers without a question. Just again, for everybody, basically, we are going to say an answer. We have the answer already. It could be a person, a topic, a team, etc. And we have to come up with our own question to that answer. We all know the answer, but we do not know what each other's questions are. So we're going to start with you, Kojo. We're going to start on this first one. And the answer is San Francisco 49ers. What is your question?
Whose Super Bowl window has closed? They've been dealing with quite a bit of injuries. None of their players are getting younger. Christian McCaffrey, his legs might as well be gone to me at this point, right? They have Trent Williams. Guess how old Trent Williams is turning? 37 this year. He's turning 37.
Wow.
He's going to have a walking cane shortly. Dre Greenlaw, going to be a free agent. they're leaning more towards starting over than making the Super Bowl.
Connor?
Go ahead, Chuck. I want to back something up here.
So my question is, what team could either go sky high or fall flat on their face next year? And it's the San Francisco 49ers. You bring in Saleh back. You know, I think we all agree that we think Kyle Shanahan and the Shanahan ghost GM of Sire Shanahan, Kyle's dad, running the show in the shadows. I think we all trust the 49ers for the most part to be a good organization, you know, draft, develop, etc. But you look, you got McCaffrey, you got Debo, you got Dre Greenlaw, you got Trent Williams. I saw a report today that Saleh says bringing Dre Greenlaw back is a priority. I think Slick Rick out on the outside's got juice. I know Ayuk is really great if he can get back healthy. We know Kittle's elite. He's got juice. I could see the 49ers going one way, and I can see them going the other way. And I don't see how you make the argument that they're going to be really good or really bad. I think they could be either one is what I'm trying to say.
God, I love your guys' takes on this because you have mentioned so many star players. So my question for you is, who is the latest team that will get fooled into a $55 million quarterback? The San Francisco 49ers. They have everything. They've had everything. I just don't think Purdy's going to be the guy.
I think this $55 million per year thing's getting thrown around. The Jags did not make Trevor Lawrence some record-breaking highest paid quarterback of all time. They shook it up in the contracts. They did give him a nice deal. What these agents are going after is this magic bouncing ball that ESPN loves to purport. I think that the 49ers are going to get Brock Purdy paid. They're going to get money in his pocket. I don't think they're going to be handicapped by it. We just saw the Eagles pay Jalen Hurts after they lost the Super Bowl. Boom, boom, they're right back in it, and it's because of the draft. So you have to draft well, and the 49ers have not recently, really. The 49ers.
They didn't just draft. Look, you can't make that comparison because the Eagles didn't just draft well. Well is not the context from how they drafted. They drafted perfect. They did perfect. Howie Roseman did perfect.
But Jalen Hurts' contract wasn't bootstrapping them.
It's not getting better. When you drop all that money on a quarterback, it's not like you didn't just drop money. It's not like
Not all of these $55 million contracts are the same.
Yeah, but it's better than four being the last, being the last pick of the draft.
Right.
That's my point. Is now you're talking about allocating 15% of your salary cap to one player who probably isn't going to be the reason why you guys go to the playoffs or not, because you could stick Sam Darnold in that situation like we saw.
What was your question?
My question was, who is the latest team to get fooled into signing a $55 million quarterback? And it was because you guys are mentioning every single player on the 49ers except for the guy who's supposed to be the leader of the pack.
I fall along the lines of Kojo and Chuck, but more so Kojo. And my question was, who's a team that needs to hit the reset button? And it all falls to kind of what you said, Kojo, where they have players that are getting old. I, personal opinion, so all you TikTok haters out there, which I love, Brock Purdy's a good quarterback, I actually think. But outside of that, everybody else is regressing heavy. And more so, my personal opinion is that I think Kyle Shanahan has kind of lost the trust of that locker room to a degree because they haven't been able to get over the hump. Not to his fault necessarily, but they've done it over and over and over again, and they just still haven't gotten to the top of that mountain. And I think they're kind of getting tired of this whole carousel that they're on.
I very much agree. I think, though, And what I was saying, I think they could hit the reset button and do it right and get right back into competing. Or they can fall flat on their face.
Okay, let's move on to the next answer then. And
lost to Tua.
Hold on.
Okay. Let's move on to this the next answer. Chuck, we'll start with you on this one. The answer is a sleeper player for next season. Who do you have?
So I took this one as like a Jeopardy format. I said, who is Jalen Wright? That's my sleeper. I don't really have much logic. I saw Raheem Mostert got released. Jalen Wright was one of my sleepers going into this season. I think, was there a single running back that was drafted last season that did anything besides Bucky Irving? Or am I only remembering Bucky?
Tyrone Tracy, rookie running backs.
Tyrone Tracy. I think that Jalen Wright has juice. I saw him running well. Devon Achane, he's good. I just can't get over. I could see Jalen Wright doing the same thing. And I think Jalen Wright has a little more power in terms of breaking tackles, etc. So Jalen Wright, that's my pick.
I'm going to go next here real quick. Mine is Marvin Mims Jr. And I think he's actually a player that Denver is going to utilize quite a bit. And I was doing some research on him. Last year, Marvin Mims Jr. had a lowly 503 total receiving yards. But what if I told you that 434 out of those 503 total receiving yards came in his last seven games? And not only that, but he had six total touchdowns on the year, and those six total touchdowns came again in the last seven of those regular season games. I think Marvin Mims is due to be a true number two receiver, a true slot receiver for Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix proved that he can be a top-level quarterback in the NFL last year, and having Cortland Sutton still there is going to be a great boost for him. So I chose Marvin Mims Jr. as a sleeper player for next year that is probably going to go under the radar a little bit, and he was probably a player that could be in that category of better than Marvin Harrison.
I like that. I saw Sean Payton said he wanted like an X factor, Weapon X type deal. So,
well, Marvin Mims isn't a rookie, Grant, I believe, right?
Correct. He's in a second year, take that part of it. I know.
Yeah. Well, Marvin Mims, in my opinion, is situational. I think Bo Nix is the reason he's doing anything. He did jack shit the year before, like nothing at all. I'm not saying that they had a quarterback throwing the ball.
Yeah, who's their quarterback? We can't even tell you.
My Jared point is, Stidham? I think if you had placed receivers in the same role, I think it'd been better at the same age.
That's my guy, though. I don't care. Even That's if it's fair. Bo Nix, the reasoning for it, I think
yeah,
that
situational
because of Bo Nix, he's going
is
to.
Fine as well. Yeah. I've got two. Koja, you go first so that if you take one.
All right. So I took this in a little different direction. My question was, who starts for the Saints? And my answer is Spencer Rattler. Report came out that multiple coaches come saying that they're extremely impressed with his film. Kellen Moore also came out with a report how excited he was to work with Derek Carr. Hoopla. Don't believe it. Kellen Moore is going to work with Spencer Rattler. Derek Carr is going to be out by week four. Rattler was thrown into a lot of weird situations last year, but the best part about that is his experience. I see Rattler slinging it from the New Orleans Saints.
That's a hot take. All right, I've got
That's
two.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard, Kojo. I'm sorry. Spencer Rattler is doo-doo. Absolute doo-doo.
Agreed.
Yeah, I'll see. One day.
Where do you start with that? But all right, number one. Love that we're still on the 49ers topic here, but Juwan Jennings had a hell of a year under the radar. No one even talked about him.
I feel like, is he really a sleeper though? I mean, he almost won the MVP in the Super Bowl when they were in it.
Yeah, but no one even knew who he was at that time. Still. And even this year, no one even gave him really that much credit. Debo out. Juwan in? Are you coming off injury? Things seem to line up situation.
Oh, who's the other one? He's just boring.
All right. Well, the other one is I mean, you guys took Juwan.
I don't know if he's a sleeper anymore, though.
Well, then my next pick's definitely not a sleeper.
I was hearing Juwan Jennings, commonly called the best wide receiver three in the NFL.
All right. Well, you guys are, if you guys want to go down in the depths and grab a big time receiver out or something,
yeah,
I want
a sleeper.
Too.
I want a sleeper.
I mean, no, because the next one wasn't a sleeper, but I'm going
to
tell you.
I want to have to look this guy best, up after.
I'm going to tell you the best. Yeah, I could do that for you if you like. Well, then I guess I should move off of Chase Brown then. Because Chase Brown was unbelievable last year.
I could still call Chase Brown.
He took over Zach. He took over Zach Moss's role even in the pass blocking game, and the back half. Not even the back half of the year. Majority of the year, he was cooking. 4.3 yards a carry. Had 230 touches. He was this. I think PFF's graded sixth best pass blocking and receiving back on the year. No one thought that the Cincinnati Bengals were going to have a real deal running back. I think Chase Brown is better than Joe Mixon. You heard it here first.
Whoa. Bold.
I like that, though.
That
Hunter.
Is bold.
I like that one.
I like,
that one's pretty good.
I mean,
I
when
like
you're
going to
at the at
I
the
like
current, I could be convicted about the sky being purple, brother. But if Joe, if you're talking about current age right now, what the salary cap does for both teams, having to sign Joe, Chase Brown is as good of a replacement as you could have found.
A lot of validity to that one. I'll give you that one. That's not a bad one for sure. Last one of the night here. This one might be a little contentious, especially online with their fan base, but the answer is Mike Tomlin. Kojo, I want to start with you on this one.
The question is, who's on the hot seat? Mike Tomlin. And here's why. Last playoff win was in 2016. Okay. This is a historic franchise. Six Super Bowls in their franchise. They have been average to above average ever since they won the Super Bowl. Okay. Now, Mike Tomlin's as good in class as a coach as they come. But the wins really haven't shown. Right? They haven't reached over the hump. So, yes, he led the Super Bowl, led them to two Super Bowls, won one. He's won three AFC championships, seven division titles, 12 playoff appearances. He hasn't won his division since 2017. 7 years is too long. I think Mike Tomlin is on the hot seat and potentially on his way out.
Wow. Mine is, who's the most misunderstood coach in the NFL? Look, I get that they've been on this walk to mid-level competition every year. You know, we see it year in, year out. It seems it's like a broken recording player. Broken record. It's before my time. I had an iPod Touch. But Mike Tomlin's one of the best damn coaches you could find. I don't think Pittsburgh is even thinking about moving on from them or from him. I think just let Mike run this shit back year after year, man, if you're the Steelers. If they're winning 3, 4, 5 games, I could hear that. They're going to the playoffs. And they're doing it with a hodgepodge at quarterback. I get Najee's 1,000-yard rusher. Najee don't. I mean, come on. They got Pickens out there. I'm not too high on Pickens, although we see the talent. And they're going to the playoffs. I think Tomlin deserves more credit than blame for these Steelers teams. We expect a Super Bowl competing team for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I don't think Mike Tomlin taking them to the playoffs in these lost down years after Big Ben's been gone, I don't think that's a detriment to Tomlin. I think that he deserves credit.
I like that, Chuck, because I'm going to kind of piggyback. My question is, who's done the most with the least? It's Mike Tomlin lately. The last time they had Big Ben Roethlisberger healthy, you remember how bad he was the back half of his career. He played 15 games in 2020, still went 12-3 with Mike Tomlin. And I remember a shell of Big Ben at that point. Bad. He didn't even look good.
Yeah, he was throwing lollipops.
Didn't they implode immediately after that?
They went 9-7 the following.
Just fell apart. So
they, on the flip side,
but that's the thing is the Steelers falling apart with Tomlin. It's 9-7.
Yeah, like that's.
But you guys are taking mediocrity here. Like
no, I'm not taking mediocrity because he needs
Kojo.
To step it.
No, I just think that this is the floor. That's my I think this is the floor. This isn't the norm for Tomlin.
The floor? He's been to one Super Bowl. He won it, but that's it. That's it.
And trust Coach Tomlin.
That's I think it. He's a great coach, but your numbers,
Doug,
your wins,
Doug,
correct.
Coming
but,
back,
but he's
yes, Coach O,
wins
yes.
matter.
Okay, well, he hasn't been his entire time. With the Steelers since 2005, they haven't been under .500. If you want to talk about wins, I get the playoffs
Who
matter.
Who cares?
Let me finish. I get the playoffs matter, but he's working with nothing. He doesn't have anything, and he's still making this team somehow competitive. If this was any other team in the league with any other coach, they'd be picking in the top five every
Here's
single
what,
year.
I agree. Here's what I said. Fogle. Here's what I
you
said,
called,
and you guys
you
can piggyback off this.
Antonio Brown, a top five wide receiver,
100%.
And then you're coming here and saying.
Antonio
Mike
Brown
Tom's
left the
Steelers with anything.
Yeah, but
that,
he's been 10 his last 5
those
seasons are 10
eras.
And 7, 10 and 7, Fogle's 9 and 8, 9 and
now.
7, 12 and 4. The now is he's been playing. He went 12 and 4 in 2020, won the division with Lamar and Joe Burrow on the other side.
Last time he won the division was 2017. That's incorrect.
It's 2020, 12 and 4. I'm looking at it right now. Lost the wild
So
card.
Last time they won the divisions 2017, book it. Book it.
He's got the phone up. He's got the phone.
They went 12-4, and they went first of their division with a
okay.
Lamar.
So you're telling me
they've been 10-7 the last 2 years,
bro,
and you're telling
they're
me
not
to fire
winning. They're not going past it. They're not going
but
any further.
They went 10-7 with two quarterbacks
that's like saying
that are
the
mid.
Jags are the Jags are happy with winning 7 games, bro. This is not how this
yeah,
works.
Yeah, but
like,
my point, if you dropped a top quarterback on that Tomlin team, they would be winning playoff games. But you're not going to do that with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. He's trying his best, and he's still making the playoffs. I would be so happy if my team could make the playoffs.
Keyword is trying his best. He's
with
a great
what he has.
Fellas.
With what he has.
But after 7-8 years of this same old, when does it stop? Do you give it like when are we going to say, hey, let's draw the line? We
When's the last time
made
a coach
the divisional since 2017?
Let so Jameis let him get Jameis in the Steelers.
I Jameis in every single podcast.
I would.
When's the last time a team fired their coach that was 10-7 the prior 2 years? When's the last time that happened? I don't think he's
Couldn't
on the hot
you.
Seat. I don't think it's ever happened. I think they're not. I don't think it's mediocrity or anything like that they're striving for. I think this is they're performing at the highest level they can with the players they're dealt right at this very moment. And if they had a better team, Mike Tomlin would 100% bring them past those games. But he can't do that when he's under rostered across the board.
Let me say my question because it will piggyback off of to what you guys said.
He's playing with bums. He's playing with bums.
Let me just say my question because it'll piggyback off of what you guys said. And my question to
George
it was
Pickens
is Buns. Let's just get over that real quick. The question is, and again, you guys can continue to carry on with this, is who's a coach that has lost the faith of the fans?
Fuck the real fans.
Real Steelers fans have Mike's back. Real Steelers fans have Mike's back.
The Steelers are tired of going 500 every year or a little better, fine, and getting this 20th, 22nd overall pick, and they're not going to be able to go anywhere with that. They can't draft a top-tier quarterback because they are at that level, and they're sick and tired of just being in the spin wheel. That
this is on the GM. Whoever the GM is needs to start whipping some shit up.
Go get a top-tier quarterback like that. It just doesn't – they don't just
I'm
grow
not saying
on trees.
A quarterback. I'm saying, That's you know, what, if it – I'm saying if the issue is that you don't have the high enough draft pick, then I don't know. Blame it on the executives.
Well,
Tomlin's doing his thing.
We can all agree that's probably one of the hardest divisions in football right now. right? We can all agree that, and to Mike's defense, we can all agree with that. We can all agree that that's been the story since we've been alive, that this has been a hard-nosed division. What if I told you he's won the division in his time in Pittsburgh 35% of the time? I get that a lot of that is prior years, but that was when he had a team. What happened when he had a team? If you look at this, the time frame of when he had a real roster, he was destroying that division. Now
so
he
you're
doesn't
telling me
have
he has
a real
a fake roster.
Roster
and he just made the playoffs.
It yes,
is thank you.
It is blasphemy. It is
I think
so
exactly.
crazy.
What do you, I mean, so in crazy. Terms of the playoffs of the seven teams in the playoffs,
official
what,
take.
Who had a better who had a worse roster than them?
The
for
official
being
take we're hanging our hat on Pittsburgh had a fake roster.
Yeah, bro. What? I mean,
defense, Mike Tomlin.
I'll give you their defense outshines their offense absolutely, but it's not like they don't. All right. First of all, George Pickens is an absolute freaking dog. By the way.
Let's You're a Georgia Bulldog,
Cap.
Brother.
Let's Cap. Bring it. Let's bring it back here.
Yeah, turn Absolute that hat around. I'll dog. Believe you.
Same All situation right. with Najee Harris, you. thousand yard rusher. He's not doing much. Same with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Let me ask you a question. Can you give me five players on that team that are performing at an elite level at all?
Patrick Queen, T.J. Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick, George Pickens.
I saw him on that O-line, but he got up and left.
Did you just say Freiermuth?
They love talking about the fans. They love
and elite. We just there. I just said elite, and you put Muth and elite in the same sentence,
brother.
In the same sentence, you named five guys, brother. And the first three were awesome. George and then Pickens the first three were awesome,
George,
but that's
George
it.
Pickens is absolute.
Meanwhile, the Philadelphia George Eagles Pickens have three of them are rookies that are doing better than
hate.
Them.
George Pickens gets way
No. And I agree with that, but he's not playing at an elite level. And they're still 10-7 every year.
You're acting like Russ is a piece of shit, though. Like,
he is. He's
just, he's just not.
He's married to Future's ex. Though, bro. He's married to Future's ex. He is.
This is just not how that works.
Yes. But Russell, what happened in Denver with Russ? Did they make the playoffs?
That's a different scenario. That's different. No, that's crazy. I thought he played way, way better in Pittsburgh than he
I wonder why he played better in Pittsburgh.
Because he has George Pickens. That's why.
No, it's because he has a well-coached team.
That's not making the Super Bowl. Again, I needed to hear.
Then since John Harbaugh should get fired and Sean McDermott should get fired and whoever?
John Harbaugh made it to the AFC Championship last year. Last time... Tomlin
they didn't win a Super Bowl. You told me they won about Super Bowls.
So
one team wins it. That doesn't mean fire 31 coaches.
That's not what I'm saying. You're construing that. That's a Kamala take. What I'm saying is that this amount of time that they have been mid, right? That's what they say, is way too long. Tomlin in probably holds himself to a higher standard than anything. So my whole argument is, why is this continuing to happen?
Well, let me ask you this. Well, they're number four in the most wins since 2010 as a team. And we're just going to let go of the guy that was responsible for the entire time?
So
nobody gives a crap about that. Is he winning Super Bowls?
You mentioned after
that's all they care about.
You can't pull a stat from 2010. That's just...
Even from 2010, even from 2020, they're still winning games. It's not like they're winning games with. They had Kenny Pickett and they made the playoffs, brother. Kenny Pickett.
Let's bring it back.
We had Lamar Jackson on that team.
Jacksonville, and we made it to the AFC Championship. First of all, it doesn't. The defense is Mike Tomlin's bread and butter. Okay, this is why everybody bets the under when they see the Steelers Bengals games. I'm telling you, this is. That's his bread and butter.
What's
Will I
that?
Agree that they need a better ball thrower? Absolutely. Right? I agree with you there. Again, comes back to, do you accept them losing in the divisional every year as a fan? Fogle, if you're a fan of the Steelers and you say, hey, for the past six or so years, we make it to this spot and we get booted. Are you okay with that? Yes or no?
I'm not okay with that, but I'm not placing the blame on Mike Tomlin. That's for damn sure.
Who else do you place the blame on then?
There's only two guys in the AFC that are winning playoff games at all.
There's two guys that you can place the blame on. GM, Mike Tomlin.
Well, then, great. Get the GM on the phone. Call him right now and hang those up two the phone
are drafting
with
together. Those two are drafting together.
I don't care what they're doing. What I care about is the fact that there's been two quarterbacks to basically win playoff games the last 4 years in the AFC. And you can add Joe Burrow in a few times. It's not like Lamar's winning games.
And it's soft as baby shit talking about the AFC North being the hardest division.
It is the hardest division.
I agree. But you're, again, making excuses for them to stay where they're at.
It's not an excuse. They make the playoffs
absolutely
every year.
It is. You're saying they're better than me. I can't do anything about it. That's absolutely an excuse.
No. What I'm saying is that, like we say, wins are a quarterback stat. And so is a head coach stat. Mike Tomlin wins games. When we get to the postseason, you're not going to win games without an elite quarterback. We see that across the board. There hasn't been an elite quarterback to win the Super Bowl in a very long time.
Whose fault is that?
The GM.
Just end this whole conversation with a question to you real quick, Kojo. As a Jaguars fan, if you had the opportunity today to hire Mike Tomlin, would you?
Oh, 1,000%. Yes, but we have Trevor Lawrence. We have Brian Thomas Jr., right? Coming back to Fogle's point, they don't have the greatest weapons. Yes, greed. But I'm looking more on the defensive side. For the Jaguars specifically, we have those weapons. So, yeah, I'm taking him 100%. I think a lot of teams would. But again, if Mike Tomlin came to the Jaguars and 4 or 5 years, we keep making it to this spot and lose, I'm going to be like, all right, I'm happy we're winning, right? But there's a line again. There's a line. You should definitely be happy in that you're having the 500 seasons, right? There's a line.
Can I ask you this?
Part ways.
If you're a Bills fan, how close to getting sick of McDermott are you?
Oh, I think McDermott's in the same situation here.
At least he's consistent. At least he's consistent.
Okay. Yeah, I think he's in the all same right. situation.
All right, that's fair.
Well, even then, if we did what Mike Tomlin has done the last 4 years in Jacksonville, we would consider that the best stretch of franchise history.
So Mike Tomlin also want to mention Mike Tomlin lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2017. By the way, so
yeah, that's fine. But that's, again, what he does every year, year and out. There's 10 franchises right now that would kill for what he does. Here's he would get a job argument. Tomorrow like this. Boom, done.
Mike Tomlin is one of the greatest coaches of all time. I am aware of this. I am absolutely all for Mike Tomlin. I think he's a fantastic coach, especially after watching Hard Knocks. Players coach, gets the most out of him. Great. Love it. He's not going to the next step. He's proved it. I think the proof is in the numbers. You can say, oh, our division's tough. You can say he doesn't have this, he doesn't have that. So do a lot of other teams.
Well, I think that'll wrap it up today, boys.
I wanted to keep going, right, but I'm gentlemen. Like, it's 9:30.
I think that's enough, yeah. Sorry, I was just watching the end of that Daytona 500. That was wild.
Dale ain't
not
winning,
too
is
shabby.
He?
It's just over. William Byron won the 24 car.
Yeah, good for
nice.
Him.
Nice.
Kojo, since we wrapped it up, I can't believe you were preaching 2017 and I pulled it out and caught you.
Yeah, no, 2017 is the last time they went to the AFC chip. That was the last time. So right, I got them mixed up.
Which was almost a decade ago.
Yep. So
that's what I'm saying, bro. Like, that was good content, though.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Well, boys, we'll catch y'all soon.